And welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. The bill banning partial birth abortion in Michigan, now passed by both the House and Senate. For some, it's been a long time coming. For others, it's an unnecessary piece of legislation. To talk about it and to discuss the latest developments at the Capitol, I'm joined by Democratic State Senator Rebecca Warren. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. I appreciate the invitation to be with you today.
Now, I know that you and most Democrats voted against the ban. Republicans say it's a federal ban that already exists. And this bill just gives state authorities the power to prosecute doctors who may perform the procedure in Michigan. Is there anything wrong with that?
Well, I think the problem that a lot of us have with it is, you know, we go home and meet with our constituents day in, day out, and we hear Michigan's economy is still in trouble. People still don't have jobs. They're still looking for ways to make their mortgage payments and put food on the table. This is a piece of unnecessary legislation that, you know, the procedure that they're talking about, as best as they describe it in this legislation, is already banned under federal law. So it's a waste of the legislature's time at a point in Michigan's history where we can least afford it.
Now, Republicans say the legislation does have an exemption for when the life of the mother is at stake. Was that exemption, in fact, included?
Well, they did have an exemption for when the mother's immediate life was in danger. I had a series of amendments that were introduced on the Senate floor that would address issues where the woman's health or future fertility were at stake, and to give exemptions to doctors to make that call at that moment, and those amendments were both voted down.
This appears to be the first time this year that we've had this kind of a socially conservative legislation brought up. Do you expect that we're going to see more anti-abortion legislation or socially conservative legislation coming up in the coming months?
Well, we actually have had a chance to get a peek ahead at what committees are going to be doing this week in Lansing, and we know that we have more ahead. We have committees in both the House and Senate that are going to be taking action on a number of bills. The Senate Judiciary Committee will be taking up the House version of this procedure ban bill, as well as a parental consent expansion piece of legislation tomorrow. So we do know that there will be more of those pieces of legislation coming at us very quickly.
Aren't abortion rights, though, here in Michigan, aren't they fairly well protected at this point? And isn't the service readily available for those who seek it?
Actually, about the exact opposite is true, Michael, that Michigan has been consistently, by most of the national organizations that look at reproductive rights laws, graded one of the worst states in the nation. We have some of the most restrictive laws that make it incredibly challenging for women, especially women who are of low income or women who are younger, to get access to quality reproductive health care.
I'm talking to Democratic State Senator Rebecca Warren. I guess it's no surprise that Republicans would now start pursuing socially conservative legislation since they are in control. They focused on the economy. Is this not just another part of what their party stands for, and aren't they doing what their constituents would want them to do?
I guess there are some who would say that, but I just don't, at this point in Michigan's history, I don't know how they could be hearing anything different than we're hearing in our districts, that really what the people of Michigan want us to be focusing on right now are jobs and fixing Michigan's economy. I don't think they are really as interested in you know, divisive social policy as they're interested in, you know, making sure that we're moving Michigan forward. And these policies, especially a policy like this, which is already banned under federal law, which, again, was a bill that was written with such vagueness that it has not withstood constitutional muster before, I think the people of Michigan would be pretty disappointed to see that this is where we're spending our time and attention and not focusing on the real issues that we should be facing.
Well, when it comes to creating jobs and improving the economy, I know the focus of state Republicans have been to cut taxes, specifically on businesses, and we're now going to see the personal property tax likely eliminated. Some say it absolutely needs to be replaced with another revenue stream. Do Democrats have any thoughts on what that could be?
Well, I'm here today only speaking as myself, as one Democrat. I can certainly say that as I go around my community, personal property tax is one of those rare taxes that doesn't really have as much of an impact on the state budget as it does on our local. So it's almost $1 billion that goes directly into our local units of government, our libraries, and our schools. And I have heard resoundingly from my communities that repealing the personal property tax without a replacement mechanism would just put them in grave, grave danger. You know, we've already seen so many cuts to revenue sharing, to the per pupil foundation allowance in our schools. Our libraries have seen cuts that really, it'd be very irresponsible of us to repeal the personal property tax without some kind of replacement revenue. We would literally have cities and school districts and libraries that wouldn't be able to keep their doors open.
Do you have any sense of what would be a proper replacement then for the personal property tax?
You know, I think that's just in the initial stages right now of being something that's being looked at. I have had the opportunity in my entire legislative career to sit on the tax policy committee, they called it in the House, or the finance committee, they call it the Senate, but it's the same committee, and there is a group of folks who are looking at, you know, a way to phase the personal property tax out maybe over time and to look at some different options for replacing that revenue, and I don't think it's gotten much past the initial stages.
I know education reform is another major piece of legislation that's going to be making its way through the Senate and House this fall. Now, Michigan's education system, like many across the country, has some major problems, especially in urban centers, with some stunningly high dropout rates. Republicans are calling for some sweeping changes, but even if you disagree with their approach, aren't they right to call for big changes to our school system?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we have some numbers that we look at that really should be horrifying and motivating to all of us. We do have dropout rates in some districts that are way too high. We have school districts that have really some aging buildings that are almost impossible to wire for high-speed internet or to provide the kind of location where we'd want our kids to be trying to learn. We've got lots of problems to tackle in education, and we do need to focus on it. I guess the concern that I have with some of the things that have been put forward by some of my colleagues is we seem to be more interested in sort of punishing teachers and school employees instead of saying, how do we all work together? We know teachers are invested in getting the best results for our kids, as are our administrators and school board members and we as legislators. Instead of saying, hey, let's work together and look for some solutions, we've taken a more punitive approach, which, frankly, what we've seen from other states, that these types of a piece of legislation just haven't worked.
Well, you say punishing teachers, but really Republicans will say we want to focus on the kids. I mean, when they call for things like charter schools and they're looking to take steps to, I guess some would say, reduce the power of teachers' unions, they say ultimately we don't have a lot of money and we want things and programs that are most beneficial for the kids, and we don't want to be that focused on the financial well-being of our teachers. Is that not a fiscally responsible approach?
Well, I think you'd be hard-pressed by looking at real data to say that it would ever be fiscally responsible to put more state dollars, especially an unlimited number of state dollars, into the experiment of charter schools. What we know from studies that have taken place across the country, and certainly in Michigan, is that we do have some charter schools that have done well for our students. We have some charter schools that have not performed well for our students. We also have public schools that have done incredibly well for our students, and also the reverse has been true. So for us to just say that the, you know, fiscally responsible thing to do would be pour money into charter schools without accountability measures being in place, without looking at who's profiting. I mean, are some of these charter schools that have started to become more prevalent in Michigan are for-profit companies that are actually making money out of our state coffers that are supposed to be dollars going into our kids' education. I guess I'm not opposed to looking at that experiment, to asking the tough questions about whether more dollars should go there or not, but just a blanket, let's keep throwing dollars at charter schools without those accountability measures, I think is actually fiscally pretty irresponsible, in my opinion.
Unfortunately, just about a minute left, but I talked to Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville earlier about the fall legislative agenda. It seems that Republicans continue to work remarkably efficiently, easily voting through legislation. Where does that leave Democrats, and what has this year been like in the Senate?
Well, you know, it's definitely a little bit different. My 4 years that I served in the House, I was Democrat for the majority in the House, and for things to be able to get to the governor's desk, you had to work with members of both parties so that you could get something through both chambers. And I think what's happened now that Republicans have such sweeping majorities in both the House and Senate, they certainly aren't looking to us as minority party members for votes, and really aren't looking for things to be bipartisan, which I think is a shame.
Are Democrats effectively excluded from the legislative process when it comes to actually formulating these plans?
Well, I think, you know, we all play an important role. We're all there as equal, you know, representatives of the same number, roughly the same number of constituents, and you certainly will hear us making important arguments, introducing amendments, challenging, you know, being part of the debate, challenging assumptions, and certainly being there to play a role. I just think when the actual when the sort of rubber meets the road and they need votes to get things done, they just certainly don't need to look to us for those votes.
Democratic State Senator Rebecca Warren, thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much for the opportunity.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.